People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
Most organizations do not work for the day that they are no longer needed. But that's precisely the goal of the Alameda County Community Food Bank, a hub of a vast collection and distribution network that provides food for 240 nonprofit agencies in their region. Hi, I'm Joanne Green. And on this episode of the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing, we'll be speaking about food insecurity, how poverty often forces people to make impossible choices, and what's being done to address these problems. Our guest is Allison Pratt, Director of Policy and Services for the last 10 years for the Alameda County Community Food Bank. She works closely with elected officials to improve programs that address the root causes of poverty and hunger. Allison, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Your food bank serves an extraordinary number of people, which I would imagine would be both a source of pride and also kind of a sad fact, right?
Right.
About how many people?
Our food bank has been serving the community for about 30 years now, and our mission is to passionately pursue a hunger-free community. Last year, we distributed more than 32 million pounds of food to cities throughout Alameda County, and we are currently serving 1 in 5 Alameda County residents. So that's a full 20% of our friends and neighbors.
Now, that must be much higher of a percentage than you've ever served before.
It is. Actually, we get this unduplicated client count by participating in a study of hunger that happens every 4 years. And 4 years ago, we learned that we were serving 1 in 6 county residents, and now that number is 1 in 5.
And what do you attribute that to?
You know, it's interesting timing, right? And I think that you know, a lot of people would say that the recession is behind us and that we're in the midst of a recovery. And I think that's true. I think what we point out is the fact that the recovery has not lifted all boats, that it's actually left many behind. And during the recession, the state of California faced deficit after deficit when it came time to put together their budget. And the deficit solution that we arrived on in Sacramento was to cut health and human services programs to the very bone. And it's some, you know, in some cases, we actually got rid of entire programs. So we had this interesting mix of a really tough economy and disappearing social safety net. And now here we are in recovery mode. But again, the recovery is uneven and we're still left with a very weak safety net. And so times continue to get tougher and tougher for those that we're serving.
Allison, what percentage would you say of a typical client's food comes from the food bank?
Well, I think that's a really great question. And we actually did go out into the field to ask that question. And the answer that we got back was that typically our clients are relying on us for all or most of their food.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
Right.
Where do you get the food that you distribute?
That's a really good question. Actually, most of the food that we distribute is fresh fruits and vegetables, and those items are coming from farmers, mostly in the Central Valley right here in California, some in the Central Coast. I think that people often think about food banks as being repositories for donated product, right? We pick up the slack in the system, we distribute what we get. But the truth is that donated product is just not as available as it once was. And so food banks are actually buying much of and oftentimes most of the items that we're distributing. So we do purchase produce. Produce, again, is most of what we distribute. But we're also on the market trying to buy up lean protein items, dairy, and other things to make that complete grocery basket for our clients.
Alice, tell us more about how the Alameda County Community Food Bank works and what services it provides.
Yeah, sure. So we are not a direct service organization in the sense that people actually come to our site and our facility to be served. We operate through a network of 240 member organizations, and those include food pantries, soup kitchens, and other types of closed programs, which might include child care centers or adult care centers, recovery centers, places like that.
Is the approach taken by your food bank different than that of other food banks?
Well, I think it is for a couple of reasons. First of all, we are absolutely committed to being that first line of defense against hunger. If somebody has an immediate need, we're going to meet that need with a bag of food or a hot meal. At the same time, we are actively pursuing longer-term solutions to the problem of hunger through policy and systems change, trying to get at some of those root causes.
The food bank is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, which... I want to say both congratulations and I'm sorry that the need continues to grow. What are some of the successes and milestones that have occurred over the decades, Allison, and what are some of the remaining challenges that are being addressed?
So, I think one of our big successes is our commitment to nutrition. About 10 years ago, we were one of, if not the very first food bank in the country to ban the distribution or stop the distribution of soda. And that really solidified our commitment to providing a very high quality and nutritious product to our community. So I think that our success in eliminating carbonated beverage, but then making up that lost poundage through fresh produce, fresh fruits and vegetables, and really being able to maintain a high level of commitment to good nutrition is definitely a milestone in the history of the food bank. When I think about some of the problems that lie, or the challenges that lie ahead, I do think about the increasing demand for our services, the disappearance or the shrinking of the availability of donated product that's out there does make it challenging for us because we then have to buy more and more food. And the policy work that we're doing is a challenge in that it's really upon us to build this movement to end hunger, to make sure that we're leveraging public resources and private resources to solve the problem.
Was there much complaint when you really made that shift away from carbonated beverages and I'm sure also junk food in general toward fresh fruits and vegetables and lean protein? Did you get any complaints?
If anything, what we've gotten is a request to do even more.
Great.
So, when we want to be mindful of the wishes and desires of both our agency partners and our clients, right? So we're constantly asking our community, how can we continue to evolve our services to best meet your needs? We do ask about our product mix. What do you want to see more of? And, frequently, we get back the answer, we'd love more produce, more produce. And if it's not produce, it is lean protein. It's low-fat dairy. Our agencies and our clients are really looking for that healthier product.
I think most of us are aware that poverty often leads to poor nutrition. Fast food's a whole lot cheaper, for instance, than organic fruits and vegetables. Can you tell us about the role that nutritional education plays in helping to alleviate hunger?
Yeah, I think just underscoring that point, the data that we have tells us that, there's a very high incidence of hypertension and diabetes among the households that we're serving, and those are chronic conditions that are very sensitive to nutrition, and we also know a little bit about the coping mechanisms that our clients are employing. They're trying to get by on extremely low incomes. 40% of the people that we serve, the households that we serve, have annual incomes of less than $10,000 a year. And these families tell us that when they go to the grocery store, the way they shop is by selecting the absolute cheapest items that they can find. They are looking for that lowest, calorie per dollar ratio that they can achieve. So when you combine that, right, the need to buy the cheapest food possible with the high incidence of chronic conditions that are very sensitive to nutrition, you can see that we really have a public health crisis on our hands.
We're hearing more and more, Allison, about food deserts. Can you tell us what that means? I know that when you drive through certain areas, you don't see supermarkets. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. Food deserts are really areas that are underserved by food retail outlets, and particularly food retail outlets that do offer a wider variety of product and particularly healthy, fresh items. You know, and we do have some of those in our community. I think of East Oakland as being a food desert that many of us are familiar with. And how that plays out for our clients is that the access issues to fresh and healthy food are twofold. Not only is it unaffordable, but it's also they're lacking proximity to those items. And if they want to shop for healthier food, they oftentimes have to take multiple buses to get to grocery stores, and that's an added financial burden.
Sure, and I've seen situations where, like a CVS or a Payless pharmacy has a little area where they're selling a few fruits and vegetables, but the apples are a couple dollars a piece.
Right. You know, and I think one concept that is gaining steam is the idea that a person's health is not just a function of their own choices, but also very much a function of the environment that they live in. So when you think about these typical food deserts where the fresh, healthy items are unavailable, or like you mentioned, there's a small supply and it's wickedly expensive, but you have an array of fast food outlets, in those environments, the healthy choice is not the easy choice.
All right. I understand that the food banks recently released its strategic plan. What is on the agenda for the near and not so near future?
So we did release a strategic plan, and we started our planning process by asking ourselves and our stakeholders a question. And that question was, is hunger a solvable problem? And the answer that we arrived at is yes. It is a solvable problem, but it's not one that we, the food bank, can solve alone. So our plan calls upon us to leverage 90 million meals for our community by the end of our fiscal year 18. And what the plan is, it's really an articulation of where those meals will come from. So we show how we will do our part in ending hunger. We plan to continue to increase the amount of high quality food that's moving through our warehouse and our network. We plan to continue to increase the number of families that we assist with CalFresh enrollment. But we also have this, we have an ambitious goal for leveraging public resources via the safety net through our policy work. We really think that building back the safety net is where a large amount of the opportunity to end hunger lies.
What is CalFresh, and how does the food bank help eligible households to connect to those resources?
So CalFresh is what California calls the SNAP program. SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Many of us know this program as food stamps. We do outreach, application assistance, and case management to make sure that every eligible family in Alameda County is connected to this program. It really is our nation's first line of defense against hunger. And unfortunately, California has done a pretty terrible job at enrolling eligible families and individuals. And Alameda County has a ways to go before we reach full enrollment.
Is part of that problem due to cultural differences or language barriers?
You know, actually, there were some real policy barriers in the way. So California has in the past made it pretty darn hard to access the program. We had rules in place, for example, that to get on the program, every member of the household would have to come into a social services office and have their fingerprint taken. So luckily, through our policy work, we've been able to remove a lot of these barriers. We're waiting for that to pay dividends, to show up and increase participation rates. But, I would say that has been one of the main barriers.
And that's a slow process to be able to really see the turnaround.
Yeah, so that's the benefit of having 10 years of experience and being in it for that length of time is that I have seen that we have made a tremendous amount of progress.
So many social ills are best addressed when organizations join forces. For instance, I'm thinking hungry people generally also have housing needs. So what community partnerships would you say are necessary to ensure that no one goes hungry?
So, you know, I think you're absolutely right. And we think about the whole picture when we think about our clients. We know that food insecurity, that hunger is really a symptom of poverty, and that there are so many variables that play into that. Housing costs is absolutely a key one. When I think about partnerships that are critical for the food bank and food banks in general, I'm thinking more and more about the partnership or the potential to partner with our primary care infrastructure. We talked a lot earlier about the impact of nutrition on health, and we are working hard to build that evidence base and to really engage healthcare partners in the work that we do.
The Alameda County Community Food Bank has joined statewide efforts around advocacy, including the California Hunger Action Coalition. What exactly are these groups doing?
You know, when you think about the programs that we're working on, the safety net programs, when you think about nutrition programs in particular, these are federally funded programs. The states have a lot of control over implementation. And then the point of service, where the rubber hits the road is at the county level. So we're very active in coalitions at both the federal, state, and local level. So some of the things that the California Hunger Action Coalition in particular has worked on are, you know, removing some of those bigger barriers that California had put up that has kept our participation in CalFresh low. We are working with a coalition right now called Californians for SSI. SSI stands for Supplemental Security Income, and that is cash aid for the blind, aged, and disabled. This is a very active coalition that is asking for asking our state legislature to reinvest in this program, to give back to this program what was taken from it during those deficit years, and in doing so, to lift 1.3 million. Individuals in our state out of poverty.
How can affordable housing owners and managers like Eden partner with the food bank to ensure that access is available to all? I mean, access to affordable and healthy food.
Oh, you know, I think that the possibilities are really tremendous. I mean, I think of everything from the potential for operational partnerships. I know that we do work with some housing communities to actually set up food distributions on site. And our approach to food distributions are to really empower the client. They feel very much like a free farmer's market where we set up our product. We've got a lot of fresh, healthy food there, and people can bring their shopping bags and select the items that they would want for them and their family. So I think about operational partnerships, but I also think about community engagement. Can we get members of housing communities to take action, to join our movement to end poverty and to solve hunger?
Allison, your insights have been really enlightening today. If our listeners want to help, either as individuals or with their companies, what would you suggest?
There are many ways to help the food bank, and it really is going to take all hands on deck to solve this problem. I would say to consider a cash contribution. We are incredibly efficient, and for every $1 that's donated to the food bank, we're able to turn that into $6 worth of food. Take action. Visit our website, accfb.org, and learn how to join forces with our policy work to change the systems. And, you know, volunteer. We are providing a lot of produce to the community, and these are really high-touch items. They need to be sorted and bagged and put into manageable packages so that our agencies can handle them and get them out to families.
Allison Pratt, Director of Policy and Services for the Alameda County Community Food Bank, thanks so much for being on the podcast today, and thanks for all the work that you do.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. For more on the food bank, please visit ACCFB, that's the acronym for Alameda County Community Food Bank.org. And to hear prior episodes of the Affordable Housing Podcast, please sign up on iTunes or visit us at edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.